Hey there, it's Derry from Honeymoon Suite, people, and you are watching CMS TV.
Back here on Chris Aiken Presents. Want to thank Derry from Honeymoon Suite for checking in. The brand new album is called Alive, and if you liked them back then, you will definitely like them right now. It sounds exactly like what they've always sounded like, so make sure you check that one out. It is out now, I do believe, so go check it out. And so
did you like my new girl now?
I did.
Let me ask you this. What do you think of the new microphone? Because this is the upgraded SM7B from Shure.
You sound very big bald, man.
I know. I feel like my balls enlarged since I turned on today. I had to get this other device for it, too. A cloud lifter. Do you have a cloud lifter?
I don't know what that even is. No. Is that that's a device?
It's a little metal box, and I guess it adds some signal from passive microphones into your mixer. And with this microphone, I actually had to use the 48 volt slave power thing it has
okay
on there in order to get this thing to have some.
So you're using a board,
right? I have a it's not nothing too spectacular, solid state Logic SSL little simple mixer on there, and I actually didn't have it set up quite right. I'm kind of glad I upgraded because it allowed me to see what I was doing wrong over there.
Right.
But anyways, I think it sounds good. It's the one that's twice as much as the one we have. That I had the one
right.
We have.
Okay.
But I can sense. I feel like my ears can tell the difference.
Yeah, you sound you sound bold now. You're like, hey, what's going on?
Good, because it was like $500.
It better sound good for $500. Now, will you use that if you actually do some recording, you know, for whatever project you start or create? Will you use that as your vocal mic as well, or will you get do you have a different one?
It's supposed to be the industry standard for doing any kind of narration or.
Okay.
Apparently metal vocals. I haven't tried that yet, but I guess for the people that are like, I guess that works really good for them.
Well, that was very crisp. Maybe you're missing your calling, man. Maybe we should do a Cradle of Filth album with Eric Ferrantinos.
This is, I guess, the mic they use for that. I've acquired a couple different mics to do different stuff. I still have like a 57 and a 58 that I use for doing the guitars.
Okay.
I don't want to get all technical. I'm kind of retarded with that stuff anyway, but I can afford all this cool stuff. So I'm like, I need to start upgrading. So my videos, obviously for narration purposes, this is going to be great.
Oh yeah.
And I will use it in the for recording as well. I had used yours when we did the Duran Duran.
Yeah.
Along with Piercy Girls on Film, like you can hear me doing some answer back stuff in that. And I did use the microphone that Chris and I have. That one was like a USB. It just kind of went USB.
Yeah,
into
this is a USB.
It was simple, but that thing was starting to like, I was going to need a new long cable for it or something. Cause it was starting to like pop out of the thing and get a little bent on the end and your audio went away. Beep, beep, beep. And this one's like hardwired for self-destruct. And it's, I don't know. I think it's going to be better. So I'm stoked on it.
Hell yeah. Well, it sounds great. Speaking of sounding great, with a guy that we know, Dead Daisies, John Corabi, they announced a new tour today, which that's fine. They're touring the U.S. That's what they do. But the big news, yet again, another member change in this band. Now they brought back Tommy Clefetos on drums. He's back in the band now.
That was
awesome.
The original drummer that they had, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I can't even keep track of these guys anymore. They've had 400 members in this band at this point, and they all seem to come and go. Like Karabi left for a while, and Glenn Hughes was there. Now Karabi's back.
Right. He seems like he's having a great time. I mean, he's making studio updates from his band.
Yeah. Well, dude, I honestly, and I don't know their business at all, but from what I understand, the Dead Daisies is like big time, well-funded operation. You know, it's easy to have a good time when there's no limits, I guess. You know, there's no, hey, we got to get everybody to record in a home studio and send us your tracks, and right. Whoever's the smartest at it can mix it together. You know, you know, it definitely, and obviously the one guy in the band is a billionaire, I believe, or I believe he's a billionaire. Can't I think of his name? David Lowy. David, I actually chatted with him, I think last year maybe, or year before. Yes. Whenever it was, I chatted with him, and he was really nice to talk to, but you know how sometimes you meet people with money and you just sort of know? Like, you don't talk to them about money, you just sort of know they have money.
Right.
Well, he was that guy. He was that guy that just was like, I almost felt quarters being thrown at me as he answered questions. Yeah. You know, but
they are a great band though.
They are.
I think he's probably worked the business to where they get paid to play. It's not like he's paying for them to.
No,
to,
not at all.
But the guys in the band, I'm sure, are getting good salaries and taken care of, and they're not rooming up together or anything.
No, they fly on his private jet and everything. I mean, it's they're well taken care of.
That's a game changer right there.
The private jet.
Right.
Yeah.
Like usually I'd say, oh, those things sketch me out, but with Boeing in the news lately, I think I'm ready to try the private jets.
Dude, change gears. What do you think of that, man? How is it that are they not the best funded company of all the airlines? Of all the airline companies?
They're definitely a huge government funded company.
That's what I mean.
A lot of warplanes over the years.
And they can't keep their fucking wheels on the planes?
Right, scary.
Do you believe that that's coincidence, or do you believe that there's something at hand to take Boeing down?
Oh, well, that certainly appears to be going on. And also the dude, the whistleblower that said, hey, if anything happens to me, it wasn't suicide. And then something happens to him.
Yeah. Like 2 days later. Committed suicide.
Yes. Yikes. I haven't followed this too much, but I definitely saw people chattering about his death. And some news outlets were like, you know, reputable news outlets were reporting that he had said, if anything happens to me. So they're definitely putting it out there that it was suspicious that this happened to him. And I would allege that his whistleblowing is going to cause some major lawsuits and damage the company further, right? I mean,
well, but again, they're funded by the government. So,
right.
The money doesn't mean nothing. The money means nothing because, A, they'll never pay it. The government's not paying it, and Boeing's not going to pay it. Boeing will appeal and appeal and appeal for the next 15 years on any lawsuit. So, you know, the people will die of old age before they ever collect a penny. Secondly, the government has proven through this lawfare of the last year and a half, they'll just fucking say, nah, we're not doing it.
I think you're onto something with the not paying the debts too. I mean, the debt is just, it's gotten so, it reminds me of somebody that already knows they're going to screw their credit card company over. So they're just like,
yeah, they're just charging it up.
Right. It's because I remember we were at like 3 or 4 trillion in like the late 90s or something, like around there. Yeah. Rumsfeld had mentioned that, oh, by the way, we don't know where this money is. And then it was like right before 9/11 and there was like the LIBOR scandal going on, and all those offices that hold all that information were in Building 7 that wasn't hit by a plane but disintegrated. Like, they have.
Well, it was that fire, man. It was a very hot fire.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get lost when I'm trying to talk about this stuff a little bit when I'm not prepared to do it.
Well, I get it. It's fucking crazy. There's no lid on the debt at all now.
There isn't. And you know, that was the first time I started hearing trillions being lost and whatever. But when you listen to the 2030 plan that they have to just make it a one world order and a whole, you know, one world monetary system, and they'd all know this is going to happen anyway. Of course, why not just like bankrupt it into the ground? And they'll probably want to change how air travel is done. You know what I mean? That's something that they really want to control, especially if they're going to want everybody to have boop boops, vaccinations and stuff, you know, to travel. And who knows how they're reformulating the whole airline thing. And maybe they have to destroy it to rebuild it. But it is going to, you know, create a distrust with travelers when it seems like there's been like four stories this week of something falling off the plane.
Yeah. I mean, dude, and all of it from the same company, that smells to me of sabotage. I know that makes me a conspiracy theorist to say that, but I'm 55 years old. And in 54 and a half of those years, there was never more than one accident from one company in 10 years.
Right.
I can't think of two times that there was a United problem or a Delta problem. Now, in 1 week, we have three Boeings losing their wheels. Get the fuck out of here with that nonsense.
The turbine planes over the years, sometimes one will blow out, but they have like three more, you know, or whatever. I've only, you know, there's a couple famous like photos of where a plane ripped off the door. It was like in the 1960s or something, something even smaller than a 747, and it landed okay with everybody.
Sure. Well, I mean, dude, there's examples in the past of landing gear not working, not locking. Right. I mean, it's happened as with anything. I don't give a shit what it is. If it's mechanical, it will break at some point.
Eventually,
it's gonna stop working. Something's gonna happen. You know, the unforeseen will happen. The weakness in the structure that a physical examination won't see, but when the weight hits, it just snaps. You know, those things are fine. You know, it happens. Does it suck if people get killed and whatever? Yes. But it's part of the risk of doing it. Three times in a week, same company? Get the fuck out of here with that shit. And they allegedly have people that look at this landing gear every single flight, every single day. But three times in 1 week, it wasn't caught? No chance. That's just coincidence. None.
Right. Yeah, we'll have to follow it. I mean, certainly, you know, historically there's been, you know, airlines that have been, you know, gone defunct, like the Airbus. I don't think they're making the Airbus anymore, are they?
I don't think so, no.
Phasing them out, cuz that one's not safe. I remember talking to a pilot in a bar once, and he had told me that Airbuses are the most unsafe because if something happens, they can't actually like manually physically fly it anymore.
Sure.
You know, it's just like all computers or something, where like the other planes, they could muscle it in if they had to. That's what he was telling me back then. So I was always like more nervous if I was on an Airbus, which I remember Southwest used to use a ton of those.
I've only flown an Airbus twice, and both times is like they shake so bad that you think the wings are just gonna shake right off. You know, they really do just kind of jump around. It's not a pleasurable experience at all.
I've seen stuff happen, you know what I mean? They're like, we can't take off because this problem or that problem, we have to have a crew come out and fix it.
Right.
Something with the door. Oh, this window's got a thing on it. You know, they usually kind of know. I mean, there is times where the passengers kind of alert them to that. Hey, you got a crack in the window over here. But then they'll come in and go, yeah, you'll be okay for this, you know, flight. We can make the flight happen or not. I mean, honestly, most times I'm in such a hurry. I actually, you would think I'd be freaked out and want to fix things, but I'm just like, God, just throw some duct tape on it. Let's just go. Come on. I get so mad. And like for when I have a connection or something, like,
right.
fuck it, man. Just tape that shit. Let's go.
You're probably more mad about the asshole that's raising a ruckus on the plane than you are about the wing falling off.
It's crazy that I've done so much traveling, because usually I am such an overly concerned person, but I actually just don't care anymore. It's like a bad Twilight Zone episode of having to keep being on these flights, and I do feel like I'm going to lose my mind on one of them at some point. I mean, I've done thousands of them.
Right. How do you think you'd be if there actually was a real problem? Do you think you'd be freak out guy, or do you think you'd be like, well, I lived a good life guy?
I think I'd be lived a good life guy, because I have been in a situation like that, and I was kind of like, oh yeah, we're doing this now. All right, if you want to, I'll go now if you want. Like, that's how I am. Right. I already know that. Now, if something was bad, like a terrorist thing, I would definitely be somebody that tried to stop the person for sure.
But like, I always try to think about what position, and this is weird, and I know we're going into weird places. It's because we really didn't have a plan today, folks. But I have definitely thought about if I was in the Trade Center on September 11th, and I truly believe, and I'm scared to death of heights, so I'm going to put that up front. I am scared to death of heights, but I truly think I'd have been jump off guy. I think if my option was burned to death, they didn't know they were going to get crushed by the building. But my option at the time was burned to death or jump to death, I think I'm jumping to death.
I think I would have coughed to death in the corner and just kind of.
You don't think you would have jumped?
We're doing this now. And then I would just, because I'm not a jumper. And
I'm not either. I did it in the military. I hated it. I've told stories. It's in my and other things we should not say book. I was so scared of heights that the first thing that in the military, they fuck with you. They put me on top of a 30-foot. I don't know. It was like an obstacle course thing where you had to like climb ropes and shit. And I was working for a company. The company I was working for is called Light Fighter Cadre, and we took all the people coming into Fort Ord and we ran them through. Fort Ord was like a infantry sort of base. Mm-hmm. So their first week there, before they got assigned to their various units to do their job, they just had nothing to do. So that we would run them through this obstacle course. And it was all that hoo-wah training horseshit, right? You know, oh, you gotta be strong, gotta be tough, gotta be a man, you know, that whole thing. Well, I was a pussy. They knew it. And so they put me on top of this thing with nothing to hold on to except wrapping my legs around this log that was at the top and helping people over. Like, they would climb the rope and then I had to flip them over. So I have no hands on this thing. And I was scared to death. And they made me do it every week, trying to break me of being scared to death. And I never did get broke of it. I was scared to. Then they made me go to air assault school, which I was scared to death of. Then they made me go to jump school, which I was even more scared to death of.
Wait, so you had to jump out of a plane?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Tell me about that. The first
one. What do you want to know other than me yelling?
I
want
to know. Walk us through your whole day of the first day you had to do a jump out of an airplane. Like, from the time you woke up, were you able to sleep?
Well, there was no sleep. Just stop with the sleep. There was no sleep. They wear you out anyway, so that you don't have your full faculty to be fully scared. You know, it's almost like basic training again, in a lot of ways it is. Mm-hmm. So you're not fully there, but you're absolutely panicked. And you're not only panicked about jumping out the plane. That's part of it. You're definitely, for me, looking out the fucking door and seeing lots of space. Like, dude, even now, and just to give you a sample of how I am, I was watching a thing. What is that statue called in Rio de Janeiro with the woman with their arms out? You know what I'm talking about? It's like a famous statue. It's real big.
I don't know what it's called.
Whatever it's called.
I'll look it up while you're talking.
Yeah, it's real big. And you can actually, there's actually steps in the arm that you can climb. And you can sit in one of the hands.
You're not talking about the Christ the Redeemer statue.
Right? I don't know. It could be. Could very well. I don't know what it's called.
Big statue of Jesus?
Of a woman. It's like, I think it's a woman. Maybe
well,
it's
he
Jesus.
Has long hair, but it's Jesus.
I don't know what it is. I've never been there.
pretty
I've never
sure.
actually been there.
I don't know if you could, is it that?
I can't see that. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly. Is that Jesus?
That's Jesus, Chris.
All right. Well, Jesus, a woman, whatever. I'm not, just because I have a degree in theology.
Cut your hair, Jesus. You're confusing people.
Yeah. Jesus was a tranny. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that.
Hey.
It's ma'am. No.
It was Janus. Janus Christ.
That's right. Janus Christ. Yeah. No, but I was watching this video the other day of this guy. There's steps in the arm that leads to the hand, and you could sit in the hand. But they had like a drone flying over this woman climbing the steps, and you could see down from it. And I don't know if I'm the only one that gets this, but anytime I even see heights like that, I get this weird feeling in my stomach and this weird feeling in my dick. And it just feels like I'm falling. And
I
it's
know
like
that feeling.
Oh, it's fucking terrible. So I had that feeling absolutely looking out a plane and seeing, my God, there's like I forget what it was, 5,000 feet or whatever it was. I don't remember. But I mean, it was far and scared the shit out of me. But that was only part of the fear. I'm going to tell you what the biggest fear was, even more than the height. And this is from somebody that's scared to death of heights. The biggest fear for me was breaking my fucking ankles, because they drill that into your head in both jump school and in air assault school, that if you land wrong, you will snap your ankle right through the skin. And they tell you this over and over because they want you to do that land bend. Tumble. It's called it's like land bend roll. You know, you land, you bend your knees, and you roll forward. You know, that's what you're supposed to do, or roll to the side.
You can't be a high stepper. You can't go.
No, you don't land. You're not Sylvester Stallone in some movie where they land running. You know, that shit ain't happening. You land, you roll, you get up, you disconnect the parachute, and you go. That's the modus operandi.
Okay.
So they drill into you that if you don't do it right, you're going to break your fucking ankles. And ain't nobody on that ground to help you. You're just fucked for a while.
Great.
And it's like, oh my God. So yeah, that first run through.
And who packs your chute, by the way? You just go.
You do.
You pack your own chute. So like,
you do,
like,
of course.
I was nervous. Did I do it right? Are you thinking? Yeah. Are you wondering if you did it wrong?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Of course. And if you did it wrong, you're dead.
Do you have a backup chute? Do you have a backup?
You do, but where's the comfort level in? Well, I fucked up the first time. Maybe the second one will work. Where's the comfort in that? Right. There's no comfort in
that. Does the first one go off right away as you jump out of the plane automatically?
No, you pull. You pull a...
You have to pull it.
Yeah, you pull a thing.
Do they tell you need to count to a certain amount, or what do they tell you?
I forget how that worked. I don't remember.
Count to 10 and then pull.
I honestly don't. Dude, I was not very good at it. I
would have fucking forgot all that. I would have just fallen out of the plane and go... Blah!
I mean, I remember the training, and they always said, you know, you wait X amount of time, and there's this, you had to know math, you had to know this many feet per drop.
Math?
And, you
know.
Yeah, well, because they would say,
hold on, let me get my calculator out.
Well, they would say that you want to pull within X number of feet so that you could slow down enough to not get hurt. Because, that's one of the things that people that do skydiving and stuff do wrong, is that... That's where you get a lot of deaths. It's not from the chute not opening necessarily. It's from people waiting too long, trying to be too daredevil, and they don't slow down enough. And either their fucking their leg bones go completely through their knees, or they hit the ground too hard and they die. You know, I mean, that's kind of what happens. So they taught us the math of, well, you know, if you're this far, then you count to this, and that you fall at a rate of whatever it is, 32 feet per second. And, you know,
do you have an altimeter on your hand or something, or on your wrist?
I didn't. Not then. Not in 1980, whatever.
Where's the math involved of like,
well, you had to know the time. You had to know that you fall at this rate per second.
Okay.
And you're flying at X height.
Oh, I see.
So you had to do.
So you have to know how to pack your own chute and be good at math, or you could potentially die.
Dude, you could potentially die from so many things. If you don't tie your fucking boots tight enough. If you don't tie your boots tight enough, or if the strings snap on your boot, then your leg could flop forward and snap your fucking foot off. Oof. It's fucking...
So was it windy? Like, so what? Do you have goggles on? Like, do you feel the wind just like... Is it?
Yeah, there's a lot of it. Yeah, I mean, it's quiet. That's the weirdest thing about it. It's fucking quiet. You know, because like when you watch any videos you ever watch of it, you either hear the wind, you hear...
Yeah.
Or you hear some bad soundtrack that somebody puts under it. Yeah. But in reality... And for me, it might just have been fear. I jumped out and was like that. Like, I didn't hear nothing. All I heard was my stupid heart beating 9 million times a second, praying to God that I remembered everything so I wouldn't die. And even doing it right, the first jump I did, oh, my fucking feet hurt so bad. And I did it right. I mean, I did it right. I landed, I rolled, I did the shit, and I didn't get hurt to where I broke anything, but I definitely felt like I had an ankle sprain.
You were limping that day. Oh,
it fucking sucked. It fucking sucked.
So that was the first one. You're like, oh, shit. But did you feel like any sense of accomplishment, or did you feel more courageous after that, or were you just like kissing the ground crying, or what?
No, it wasn't that bad, but it was... I didn't want to be there in the first place. I'll be honest. I didn't want to be there in the first fucking place. It was one of those, the unit that I worked in, Light Fighter Cadre, was all airborne rangers. And we taught air assault, which is the rappelling out of helicopters, and what was called CLC, Combat Leadership Course, which was like a pre-ranger school. Like people at Fort Ord would take CLC, which was, I think, 75 days long. If they graduated CLC, then they would go, we would send them to Ranger school. They would get their Ranger tab, and that's great. Well, I was like not an airborne Ranger when I got there. I was just some bugging Yahoo that ran around Korea banging chicks. Right. And my first sergeant wasn't having none of that. He's like, I can't have just one soldier in my unit that doesn't have airborne and Ranger. You're going. And that was that. I went to both. Sucked. Both of them sucked. CLC sucked. Fucking eating bugs and shit. Ugh. Fucking sucked.
You ate the bugs? Did you like it?
No. Got so fucking hungry, I'm digging with my fucking entrenching tool, digging up bullshit out of the ground and eating it because I was fucking starving to death.
So why no? That they leave you out somewhere for a while, and you have to survive without certain amount of food, or what?
Yeah. In CLC, we had like a mission, like they would take us out, and they'd be like, "Okay, well, you have to capture this, and it's up somewhere on this mountain somewhere." So then you would have to do all the, you know, climb the mountain, set a perimeter, you know. Move in, you know, find whatever you're doing, battle whoever was protecting it.
But like limited MREs, like meals ready
to eat,
limited amount of them. They're like, oh, you only get two Pop-Tarts and that's it. You got to go overtake this area.
Dude, it was literally the food's at the top of the mountain.
Right.
Go get it.
You're hungry? You better accomplish this mission.
Yeah, you better get it done quicker. You better get it done quicker. It sucked. For a guy that served in the Army, which, you know, I'm proud of my service. I certainly am. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm not going to lie to anybody and say that I loved Army shit. Anytime I had to actually do Army shit, I hated it.
Right.
I hated Army shit. I liked wearing the uniform and that chicks liked it when I was at a bar.
Right.
You know, I liked being underage and being able to drink everywhere. You know, I was not a real good Army guy. I was really good at my job, and I've got the ribbons and the medals and the, you know, honor soldier this and that to prove that I was good at it. But I was never that. I was never hoo-ah guy. Yeah, let's fucking the hill.
My dad taught when I was a kid. I had a fascination with military stuff, and I was like, you got to teach me all the chants and, you know, stuff. I was like probably 9 or 10. And this is how one of them went. I want to be an airborne ranger. I want to live a life of danger. I want to go to Vietnam. I want to kill the Viet Cong.
Sound off.
One, sound off. 1, 2, sound off. 3, 4, sound off. 1, 2, 3, 4. I know I'm not doing it right. Right?
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
I was not good at any of that stuff. Like, I always found it hokey. You know, even as a kid, you know, I remember in basic training, being in basic training and doing all that marching and the chants and stuff, you know. I got a girl, she's big as a house. Yeah, da, 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 whatever. You know, I used to hear that shit and I was just like, ugh, am I really doing this?
It suck how the military has to dehumanize the enemy to the troops in order to get them to be like, yeah, they don't matter. Just blow them up, you know,
yeah.
You know, and I saw it in Vietnam, you know, with my dad's military propaganda they had to give him. And at the time I thought it was fucking awesome.
Sure. You know,
but now I'm like, I did this chant now, but obviously like I the Vietnamese people, I'm totally cool with, it's silly. I'm doing it out of humor that it's ridiculous, but, that's how the songs went.
Well, and that's how it was back then. I mean, even when I went through, it was still, we didn't have a lot of respect for anybody other than American troops. That's just the truth of it. And I was always pretty cool. Like in Korea, we had what were called KATUSAs, which were Korean Army transferred to the U.S. Army. I don't remember what the T stood for, but they were implemented with us, but they were Korean Army. And they worked with us and they did like a lot of our bullshit work. It was almost like a mini slave thing, really, because it was like, you know, they would come in and you'd be like, oh, well, we got to go and dig this hole. I'll just use an example. Yeah. All right, get the KATUSAs to do it. You know? Right. That was it.
You remind me of something here. You know, I always remembered as a kid thinking it was weird when they'd have songs like that, but they actually had Vietnamese soldiers working on the U.S. side that were like very important to keeping us alive.
Sure.
You know? And it's probably the same with every war we've been in where there's, you know, that's what's cool about America is that we are a melting pot of all these cultures. So it's weird to do. I wonder if today's military does songs like that, knowing like, are they going to say something bad about a Middle Eastern person?
I'm almost certain they don't.
Right. When you have Middle Eastern people serving with us.
Yeah.
You
know? I'm almost certain they don't. I won't say who told me this, but a friend of mine that just retired and was happy to get out because of what the military's turned into, told me that everything we deal with out here as civilians is going on in there. Inclusion and safe spaces and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, how I would, and again, I know me, if I was in a war, if I was in a battle and somebody said, I can't move on, I need a safe space.
Right.
Here's your safe space. I'm taking you out because you're going to get me killed. Fuck you. You know, I couldn't serve. I've said this a lot lately. Just seeing what we've become, I couldn't serve today. There was pride in it back, you know, and I served in the 80s. I served in 86 to 92. So there was a pride. There was a pride. There was, and I certainly still have pride in the fact that I served. But remember the movie Born on the 4th of July?
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
I'm Tom Cruise. I'm that guy now. You know, where he's like, I was proud when I did it, but I sure wouldn't serve it now. That's me.
Yeah.
That's totally me.
Yeah, he ends up in a wheelchair at the end, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he gets hurt. Yeah. But
it's a
weird world we're living in. But
it made you who you are today, and you got good skills, and you've jumped out of planes. That's something I didn't know about Chris Aiken.
Yeah, I jumped out of some planes. Whoopee. I'm glad I lived to tell about it because God knows I didn't think I would. But yeah, dude, and quite honestly, and the last thing we'll talk about here with that is the plane thing, the jump school, far less scary than rappelling.
Oh, down rappelling a mountain out of or something?
No, out of a helicopter. Out of a helicopter. Yeah. Or even just a wall. Like, when you practice rappelling at air assault school, you do it on a big wood wall type thing.
Yeah.
Scared the living shit out of you, man.
Did you see like, people like get like actually get hurt or fall off the wall?
Oh yeah, all the time.
The rope to the helicopter and stuff.
Not to a helicopter, but I saw it in off the wall. Saw it a bunch of times.
You're just like,
Yeah. I mean, and the worst part was the way they convinced you. This is so bad. I hadn't thought about this in years. One of the ways they quote unquote convinced you to rappel the right way and not fuck up and fall was they had another guy at the bottom holding the rope. So if you did fuck up and fall, you killed him and you.
Oh.
So that was your incentive to not fuck up and fall, was because you'll kill that guy. But dude, the military is good for that with heights, man. Like they have another one of their things with heights is they have what they call the confidence course or the confidence building or whatever it is. It's four decks high. Goes up about 40, 50 feet, whatever. I mean, it's really high or maybe more high than that. But each level is further apart than the last level. So the first one, everybody can kind of jump up on and get up to. But the next one, you got to have a little help. And then the next one, you got to have more help. And then the next one, you're almost like jumping, hoping that the other guy that's up there first catches you and pulls you up. And God help you if you're first or last. Because if you're first, then you got to be strong enough to pull every single other person. It's like 10 people per run of this thing. And if you're first, you got to be strong enough to pull 10 people up. And if you're last, then you're the one that has to do the jumping with nothing underneath you. With if you fall, you're dead because you're totally relying on that guy up there to catch you. Scary as fuck, man. Oh, I hated it. It was another one that they knew I was afraid of heights. I was always the fucking course leader. He can get up on the top. They put me on the top. Get up on the top and get these guys up there.
Well, you were the strong enough. I think that's what it wasn't that they were fucking with you. You were the one that they were was strong enough to lift everybody over, right?
They knew that, but they also knew that I was scared of heights. They were trying to break me of being scared of heights.
Yeah.
That's what they were trying to do, and it never worked because every time I went, dude, still, I lived in a second floor apartment. When I was in the military, my apartment was on the second floor and it didn't have a full to the ground, like, what do you call that? A wedge or you came out your door and there's like a little walkway, but it didn't have, it just had like a
railing?
One little bar, like one rail, and you could fall underneath the rail.
Oh, great.
And I was always petrified that I was going to fucking fall. And I would walk coming out of my own apartment with my back to the windows and stuff till I got to the steps because I was afraid of falling. That's a second story. This is 30, 40, 50 feet or 500 feet or 5,000 feet. And I'm doing it, but I was scared as fuck doing it. I was always scared, man. It always sucked. Hated it.
I would do terrible in that situation. Seriously. I'm just like you. I'm so scared of that. The thought of jumping out of a plane. No, they do it right over here. There's like right in Oceanside. We have a little airport here. And actually one of my fans that bought the picks just sent me a message that he was going to be down there this weekend to sign up to go jump out of a plane, like by his own recognizance.
Dude, this is why I don't even like to get on a plane anymore. I don't like to fly. You know, I had an offer literally yesterday to fly to Dallas to do a TV show. Turned it down because I don't want to fly. Just don't have any interest in it. Nope. Just no.
Yeah, I would prefer to just be on a bus or on land. That's where I thrive. I hate the airlines.
You know what?
I hate it.
I can do everything I need to do just like I'm doing this with you right now. We're 3,000 miles away. It's like we're in the same room.
That's right.
And I'm super excited. We're going to Llamageddon. This is going to be so cool.
Llamageddon will be fun. Hell
yeah. It's going to be a week from Thursday. It'll be on Eric Ferrantino's Facebook. Be my subscriber group. This is going to be something we're going to do every month. So give us that buck. You're already getting your money's worth, but we're just getting started. So
that's right. So sign up for that, and we will do that next week. And, of course, buy Eric's picks. ericspicks.cmspn.com. Eric has them. I have them. Look at, we got a, like I said, it's like we're in the same room. We have the same gear, everything.
That's, you know, right. So I signed these for you. $25. It includes first class shipping, so you get it in a few days. And this is better than Bitcoin. This is definitely gonna hold its value.
It's Bitcoin.
That's right. It's Bitcoin.
That's right. And of course, something I don't ever advertise for myself, but something I have fun doing, sign up for my Cameo.
Yes.
We'll do a Cameo for you. And my Cameos are actually a lot of fun there. I just looked at it the other day. My Cameo average is 3 minutes and 46 seconds.
That's long.
Most people's average is like 14 seconds.
Oh, no. That little?
Most people's is. Most people do between 15 seconds and 30 seconds.
Right.
Most people are like, hey, Bob, it's Bill from the blah, blah, blah show. Just want to say happy birthday to you, man. I hope it's a great day. See ya.
Yeah.
That's like 10 seconds.
I could see some of the characters from the show doing Cameo or these things.
You should.
Like, I'm already considering, you know, I started doing pages, as you know, for Stoic Steve and for Sugar Smack.
Right.
Probably going to have to do one up for the count here as well. But those pages, I'm already seeing it. Like, 'cause I know some people really do like the characters and they need their own page to build up their persona.
That's right.
And that would be awesome to do them in character. Would almost be more fun than doing them as myself.
Hell yeah. We'll set them up. I mean, dude, we got to get you on Cameo too. You're letting that money just fall away from you, my friend.
Right. Well, hey, I'm coming around, and you know, I think people are going to come around too and want to help out, because they enjoy seeing us every week, and hopefully they're enjoying the content that I'm putting out there. Thanks everybody that checked it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and last plug, I know you're not going anywhere this week, but we'll put it on the screen anyway. There it is. To keep up with Eric, he's going to Texas in about a month. Right. OfficialStephenPiercy.com is where you can find all the tour dates for the Texas dates and much more. Do you know when and where is the Texas
date? I do know the two Texas dates, and I think they're adding a couple. These seem like anchor dates, because I noticed they're like a Wednesday and Thursday or something. Okay. But 4/17 at Lava Cantina, that's in Colony, Texas. Texas, Lava Cantina on 4/17, and then in San Antonio, 4/19 at Fiesta Oyster Bake.
Nice. So, very cool.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool. Make sure you check out Eric and the Stephen Piercy Band when they come to your town. I will be checking them out in July, I believe, when they're coming to my town.
Northfield, Ohio, right?
Northfield, Ohio. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. At the MGM Roxino. I will be in attendance for that, and hopefully the day before. Eric and I will be over here getting fucked up, and maybe we'll throw a camera on that day too. Fucked up on
well, behind the scenes at Chris's house.
Yeah, there we go. We'll have a walkthrough. Chris's Cribs. On the Eric Ferrantino's Facebook channel. There we go.
Our safe place.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, well, let's get the fuck out of here. Thank you everybody for watching. Once again, we will be back next week. I have no idea let me see, who is the guest next week? Next week, the guest is The Gems, formerly Thunder Mother. We'll be chatting with somebody from The Gems next week, as well as on Tuesday next week will be the band The Quill. Tomorrow, if you log in, you'll learn about a new band called Generation Landmine that I interviewed a couple weeks ago. So that'll hold you over till the podcast versions of this show go live. So, plenty of that stuff. I, of course, will be on the Seth Williams Show on Wednesday, CMS on Saturday, the special edition of the CMS on Thursday, Eric's special edition next week. I live in front of the camera.
Living for the city.
That's right. All right, so let's get the fuck out of here. For Chris Aiken Presents, I am Chris Aiken.
And I'm Eric Ferrantinos.
And we will see you next week. See ya!
It's the limited edition six-pick set from Eric Ferrantinos. Get your autograph set today at ericpicks.cmspn.com. $25 includes first-class shipping. I drag a float with the keys to your city. I scratch the surface down into your life. I see the sign.